Amen. Thank you so much. I just think we got to clap about that again. So good. God is so good, isn't He? Going to be looking in chapter 10 this morning, and once again we're going to be continuing chapter 10 this week, and I'm going to ask you to forgive me. I'm kind of out of whack this morning. I don't know what's up, but we're continuing this morning, though, just like we have for the last few weeks. Looking at, you know, last couple months we've been going through the Gospel of John. The last few weeks we've been going through the I Am sayings. And, you know, last week we talked about how Jesus said, I am the door. And this week we're going to look at how He says, I am the good shepherd. But just a little review over last week. We were looking in chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And we read in verse 9 of chapter 10 where Jesus says, I am the door to the sheep. And we talked about how this statement's important because He doesn't say that He's a door. He says He's the door. In other words, He's the only door. If we read in that scripture there in verses 1 through 10, we find out as we go through the text that He's talking about that He is the door to salvation. He is the only way to heaven. That He is the only way to eternal life. That we can only receive eternal life through Him. And the only way we can receive eternal life is by going through the door, which is Jesus Christ. And that's so important because, you know, in verse 1 He talks about that people may try to climb up from a different way. There's no other way to get to eternal life. There's no other way to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ. So you can only attain salvation through Him, through the door. And we talked about how He portrays the door, that He's an open door. In John 10:9, He says, if anyone enters by Me, will be saved. He will be saved. And we discuss how He protects those who enter the door and how there's an obligation for protection. For us to receive the protection of Jesus Christ, we've got to surrender to Him. We've got to walk through the door, and we've got to be part of Him. The only way we can get there is to go through Him. And so we have to walk through the door of Christ to receive His protection. In other words, we've got to give our lives up to Him. We've got to give everything up to Him. Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with Me. And the outcome of receiving His protection is that we will be saved. That those who come to Him will be protected from that eternal condemnation. We receive eternal life. And then finally, last week we talked about walking through the door that is Jesus, that He provides, that he provides us with freedom. You know, the devil tries to make us think that the Christian life is full of all these rules, and the devil will make it look like it's legalistic. But true freedom comes through salvation in Jesus Christ. Sin is the restriction, right? And we receive forgiveness from our sin through Jesus Christ. The true obstruction to freedom is sin. It's sin that enslaves us. Sin corrupts us. And it's only through the forgiveness and the love and the sacrifice that we receive from Jesus that we can receive true freedom. John 8:36 says, Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's what we covered last week. And now we come we're still in chapter 10, and we come to verse 11, and we're going to be looking at 11 through 30 today. I know y'all are thinking, man, that's a lot of verses to go through, but we're going to go through that this morning, And we're going to look at that. So let's stand and read John 10. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 30 in chapter 10 of John. So let's start with verse 11 where it says this. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. But no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he is a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Verse 22 says, now it was the feast of the dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." This is God's word. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for your word. Open our eyes and our hearts to what you have to teach us this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you move through these aisles, that you speak to everyone here, and that we hear your voice as we study your scripture. Thank you for loving us and saving us. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So our focal verse this morning is going to be John 10:11, where it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And in our scripture this morning, we're going to see how Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And as we read this passage, I think we see characteristics that Jesus gives of what a good shepherd does. And by calling himself the good shepherd, he's applying these characteristics to himself as the Son of God, as the Lord of the universe, as the Savior of the world, as the good shepherd over his sheep. And those sheep, that's, if you know Jesus, you are one of the sheep. We're those sheep. And that's what he's talking about here when he's discussing that he is the good shepherd over the sheep. So let's go through this passage, and I think we're going to see these applications where he's applying these characteristics to himself as being the good shepherd. So the first thing he says there in verse 11 is that the good shepherd dies for his sheep. In verse 11 he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So he gives his life for the sheep. When he says that, he gives his life for his sheep, that means he's willing to die to protect the sheep. Now, let's ask the question, church. Who are you willing to die for? Now, sometimes I believe a lot of us, we say, well, I'm willing to die for anything, anybody in my family. I'm willing to die for my spouse, my husband, my wife. I'm willing to die for my family. But let me ask you this. Look across the aisle. Is there anybody over there in that other aisle you willing to die for? That's what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that he's willing to die just for family members or just for those that are close to them. He's willing to die for his sheep because he sees all the sheep. He gives his life for his sheep. It means he's willing to die to protect the sheep. So remember last week we talked about that anyone that enters through the door will receive the protection of Christ. And the outcome of walking through the door and coming to Christ, as it says in John 10:9, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. We'll be saved from what? We'll be saved from that eternal condemnation. We receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. That we get that. We're saved from that, from burning forever in the lake of fire, right? So that's what we say. So by entering through the door, we are saved by him. And if we are his sheep, Jesus is willing to die for his sheep. He did die for his sheep. Amen. He died on the third. He died and was crucified. He was dead. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day to overcome sin, to overcome our condemnation, so that we could have eternal life through him. And he is saved that receives that eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, when we're saved, we become one of his sheep. And he becomes our shepherd. And he becomes our protector. So we can only live eternally with him by receiving him. Four times in our passage this morning, he speaks to laying down his life for his sheep. And we've already read in verse 11 where he says that. He says it again in verse 15 where he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says it again in verse 17 of our scripture passage this morning where he says, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And then again in verse 18 he says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. We read in Mark this. It says, in Mark chapter 10, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life. He came to give his life a ransom for many. So what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd dies for his sheep. The next thing, the good shepherd saves his sheep. We read this in verses 12, 13. We read about the hireling, how he who is not the shepherd, he one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling doesn't care for the sheep. The hireling abandons them in times of danger. You know, and I'll tell you what this is in resemblance of these Pharisees and these priests who challenged Jesus during this time, because that's the way they were. God made them priests so that they could be guardians of the sheep in his absence. But so like the hireling, the priests, they just abandoned their responsibility. We read in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 27, where he talks about, it says, her princes, those leaders, that would be those priests, it says, her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people and get dishonest gain. The priests, instead of looking after their people, God's people, they ended up victimizing. His sheep, they were more concerned with gaining profits from his sheep. They were more concerned with lording over them with more rules. And you know, Jesus accused them of these things over and over and over again as he healed people. And the Pharisees called him out about this. And and lord it over the people with these different rules that were not even part of the Mosaic law. It was something that they inserted. And Ezekiel writes about that, about this dishonest gain. So rather than save God's sheep, they became like the thief that we read about in verse 10 last week. That they became the wolf who scatters the sheep. But no, the shepherd saves his sheep. We just read that a while ago, right? That talk about that a while ago, that anyone who comes through the door, it is he who is saved. And that's what the shepherd does. He saves his sheep. And that's why we need to seek out Christ as a good shepherd. If you don't know Jesus today, you can know him today. You can come to know him today. He's calling you. And he's, as a shepherd, he is calling you to him. And you can give your life to him today and become part of his flock, become part of his fold. But you've got to surrender your life to Jesus.
Right.
You got to surrender your life to him so that he can be your shepherd, so that he can be your leader. You know, I over the years I've had a lot of experience in leadership and secular work, military, all this stuff. And you know, I was a pretty good leader. I liked looking out for my soldiers. I liked taking care of my troopers. But I don't think I was ever a shepherd. Not till I knew Jesus. It was Jesus who taught me that. I learned that through him by seeing him and seeing how he taught people and what his word says about him. That's if you're in a leadership position, whatever you do now, and I'm going to tell you, most of you are in leadership positions, whether you realize it or not, because there's somebody looking at you. There's somebody looking at you for guidance. And Jesus wants you to be a shepherd to others too. He wants you to be... But you know what? For you to be a shepherd or to be a good hireling, you gotta follow him as the good shepherd. You got to follow him and you got to seek him out. But the good shepherd saves his sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows his own. The Lord knows those who are his, is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says this in verse 14 of our text today. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He knows his own, and his own know him. We read again in 2 Timothy in chapter 1. He says, for I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. Y'all didn't even know that old hymn was a verse, did you? But it's hard to read it without trying to sing it, you know. But in the Lord, the only way that we can know God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Matthew writes this in chapter 11, that all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So what we read here, what Matthew's trying to say here, the reason God, you know, the reason Jesus knows his sheep and he knows his Son because no one knows the Son except through the Father, and no one knows the Father except through the Son. And the reason we're able to know the Father is because the Son reveals him to us. Did you hear that? In Matthew he says, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So that means if you're walking with Jesus, if you're surrendered to him, if you're a child of God, the reason you know God is because Jesus has revealed him to you. He has chosen to reveal you to him because you surrendered to him. Now there's others. Now we sometimes wonder when we talk to other people about Jesus, why can't they understand this? Why they can't they understand? Well, it's because they have not accepted the Son. They have not surrendered themselves to Jesus. So God can't be revealed to them. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, man, why can't they understand that? Well, you know, it's up to you to share the gospel. It's up to the Holy Spirit to reveal it. And you've got to allow Him to do that. You just got to be faithful enough to share the gospel. You just got to be faithful enough to share that. And if we know Him, we're willing to do that. Because we want other people to know the joy that's within us, right? We want other people to undo that. I tell you, praise God that through Jesus, Jesus the Son, that He reveals the Father to us. Praise God that He reveals the Father to those who are surrendered to Him. I tell you, it's just something else to be able to know the Lord and know that the Good Shepherd leads us. But the Good Shepherd knows His sheep. The next thing, the Good Shepherd calls His sheep. We read this in verse 16. It says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So what's he mean when he says this, when he says he has other sheep not of this fold? The other sheep that are not of this fold, that refers to the Gentiles. Now let me ask you this. Anybody here a Jew? Raise your hand if you are. Okay, guess what? That means you're Gentiles. We're Gentiles. So because Jesus called those other sheep not of this fold, He calls us to be with Him also. He asks us. So that's what this is. We talked about this Wednesday night. Y'all remember us talking about this Wednesday night? Remember Peter? He was called by Cornelius. First off, God came to Cornelius, a Roman, a Gentile. God spoke to this Gentile and said, "Send some men to go get Peter to come to your house." And some of us were like, God spoke to someone who didn't know Him. Well, it says in the book of Acts that Cornelius was a man who feared God. And so he did it. He heard God. He obeyed Him. He sent some men to go get Peter. Well, at the same time Cornelius is having this vision, Peter's having another vision. And it's a big sheet that drops down out of the sky or somewhere. I don't know. I just imagine it says he was praying on top of the roof of a house. So I just have to imagine it just dropped out of the sky. And there were animals on it. And Peter was hungry, and God said, "Peter, arise, kill and eat." Well, there were animals there that were not a Jew could not eat. And so Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, I can't eat any of these animals." But what God was trying to reveal to him, it wasn't about food. God was trying to reveal him that now all people can come to know Him. Not just the Jew. Not just the children of Israel, but all people, all the Gentiles. And then all of a sudden, the crew Cornelius sent to find Peter are knocking at the door saying, "Hey, you got to come with us to Caesarea. And so they went there. Peter preaches the gospel to everybody at the house, and everybody in the house gets saved. Amen. I mean, I tell you, So it is so wonderful to know this. It says in Acts 11:18 that those that were there, it says, "When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." That's what Jesus meant here when He said, "I have other sheep, not of this fold, and them also I must bring." He meant He's got to bring all them in. Let me tell you something. He says there will be one flock and one shepherd. Look, that oneness that Jesus is talking about there, Paul talks about it further in Ephesians 4:4-6. He says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." Look, let me tell you, folks, one day there's going to be one flock, and we're all going to be in that one flock. Right now, we got all these churches around here, right? But you know what? One day, we're all going to be together with Jesus. And we're going to be in one flock, and there's going to be one Savior, and there's one God overall, and it's going to be one shepherd, and we're all going to be listening to that one shepherd.
Amen.
We're going to be praising Him and glorifying Him. You know, it's just going to be wonderful. The good, and I'll tell you why. It's because the good shepherd calls His sheep. Those who surrender to the Lord, He's going to call us all together. We sometimes might sit here and say, well, I don't know about that. Some of that sounds like, you know, when we hear stuff at church, we say, I don't know. That sounds kind of like some kind of Methodist stuff or Episcopalians. I don't know what they're doing over there. But you know what? One day, it's all going to be one flock. I saw a meme on Facebook back a while back, and said it was talking about churches. It said if Paul was around today, we'd all be getting a letter. But one day it's going to be one flock, because the shepherd's going to call all his sheep. The good shepherd is. The good shepherd is heard by the sheep. The Jews just kept pressing Jesus there in verse 24, if you look at that. They kept pressing Him and asking Him if He was the Messiah. And in verse 25, Jesus just tells them, look, I've already told you this. I've already told you all of this. And I've shown you signs. He says this. Jesus, in verse 25, it says, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And, you know, they just kept saying that they couldn't understand. The Jews just said they couldn't understand. But I tell you this, if they couldn't understand if they didn't understand Jesus' claim to be the Messiah, then why did they keep trying to kill Him? Why did they keep questioning Him? Why did they keep following around and accusing Him? And they continued to, continued to reject Him. You know, we've discussed that too. We talked about that last week too. That you know, the reason someone can't understand is because they're not walking in the light. They're walking in darkness. They don't understand this. And we see that same thing today. We try to share the gospel with somebody, and we just like, oh man, you just don't know. You just got to know Jesus. And we're so excited, and we just feel the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? I'm not doing it. Well, you know what? You just got to keep faith. You got to continue to pray to God. You got to continue to do the work that God has called you to do, and continue to share the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. Because we all got a job, right? Ours is to share the gospel. I can't save nobody. You can't save nobody.
Right.
But we can sure share the word of Jesus with somebody. And then we can just pray that the Holy Spirit continues to do His work. But the good shepherd is heard by his sheep. And Jesus tells them this. He says, you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. The you that Jesus is referring to here is the Jews. And they rejected Him as the Son of God. They rejected Him as the true Messiah. There were all these signs. He was preaching to them and talking to them, and they just couldn't understand it. They just couldn't understand that Jesus' claim to being the Messiah, His claim to deity, His claim to being the Messiahship. They just couldn't understand it. And He says this in verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. True disciples that hear the Lord's voice, and they follow Him. They know the security of being united with Him. They don't complain. They don't rebel. They simply obey. They simply obey. Discipleship is total obedience in Christ. Now, we've got to ask ourselves, church. We've got to ask yourself, Christian. Are you in total obedience to Christ? Or do you still have aspects of your life that you've not surrendered to Him? I mean, we all got a decision to make, right? I mean, when I want to go fishing, and Dana wants to go Walmart, there's a decision that's got to be made, right? Which way, what we going to do? And go fishing. I knew you'd say that, Rick.
Go fishing.
But when it comes to following Jesus, we've got to be in total obedience to Him. If we want to do the work that God's called us to do, we've got to be in total obedience to Him. We've got to be in total surrender to what God's got planned for us, you know. We've just got to be looking for that. And that's what true discipleship is. If we want to be true disciples of Christ, we've got to be totally obedient and totally surrendered to Him. Ready for whatever He's got for us to do. So to truly be God's sheep, we've got to hear the Good Shepherd. And the last thing this morning is this. Finally, the Good Shepherd, He keeps the sheep for eternity. I get this question sometimes. I don't know that where we question our salvation and we question our eternity. And I don't know. Am I really going to go to heaven when I leave this earth? Look, Jesus keeps the sheep. The Good Shepherd keeps the sheep for eternity. And it says this in verse 28 of our text. It says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Do you know what "never" means there? It means never. That's what it means. You know what eternity is? It's forever. I mean, so he says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." What is eternal life? Well, it's eternal life. Now, that don't mean we're going to live forever in this human body right here on planet Earth, because we're going to move on to that next state. Whenever we pass in this body, we're going to go, our soul leaves this body and goes to live with Jesus till He comes back. And then when Jesus comes back, He's going to resurrect us in our new body. And our soul's going to rejoin that, and we're going to continue to be His servants. But He says this. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." In verse John 2:25, it says this. It says, "And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life." Eternal life. Eternal life is from now on. In 1 John 5:13, if you ever question that I want you to look in 1 John 5:13, where John writes this. He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Look, the Good Shepherd, He keeps the sheep for eternity. You can know that. He says this in verse 28 and 29. He says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." You know what that means? It means no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's what it means. Okay? You can take God at His word. This is the inerrant word of God right here that we hold in our hand, that we're reading from this morning. And that's what God's word says. So you know what? You can believe it. It's going to happen. If it's in here, if it's written by God, it's said by God. That's how He speaks to us, right? He speaks to us through His word. And why should we believe it? Because what it says there in verse 30, He says, "I and the Father are one." In John 14:10, it says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" How does Jesus know all this stuff? Well, because He and the Father are one. As he is in the Father, and the Father is in Him. So that's why we can believe this. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, keeps His sheep for eternity. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Me should not perish, but have eternal life. Or some versions, we like to read the King James sometimes, right? It says everlasting life. Same thing. Whatever, it means live forever with Jesus. We get to live forever with Him. So let me ask you this. Do you know Him today? Are you ready to follow the Good Shepherd? Or do you question if he's still with you, or if He's still taking you with Him? Or I mean, we just went through that. Remember, if you know Him, if you've received Him, if you're surrendered, you have eternal life. But if you don't know Him, you can know Him today. The way you know Him today, if you want to be part of His flock, or if you want to be part of His fold, you need to know Him. You need to admit that you're a sinner, that you're willing to turn from your sins. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, you've got to believe that Christ died and He rose again so that you can be saved. That's why He did it. He sent here. He was commanded to come here by God the Father and to do this mission here on earth. And you know what? He done it. That was the plan all along, to save all of us so that we could all be in one fold, in one flock with Him, that one shepherd, that one good shepherd. You got to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth confesses and is saved. So how about it? What are we willing to do this morning? Are we going to just keep living the way we're living? We're going to live apart from the flock? Or are we going to live away from the good shepherd? Or are we going to give it all up to Him? Are we going to be part of the fold? Are we going to fall under the protection of the good shepherd who is willing to die for us? So let's decide that this morning. Let's sing.
Hymn number 312.